T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I mean, really? I don't feel that that's
sure.
necessary. That
hey,
is Jor? Not necessary.
Jor, look, I don't make the news. I just report it. This is newsworthy.
Help us all.
Okay? Check your attitude at the door and
you're the worst.
And listen up. We scientists have been talking about ways to lower the risk from COVID-19. Physical distancing, rigorous hand washing, face masks. The very latest. Hit it again, DJ, just for emphasis.
No, you're such a bad person.
Come on. I already put it away. I'm sorry. Once
oh,
is enough.
You? Yeah. Such a bad. It's gross. I mean. Oh, who's not closing the lid, by the way? Who's not doing
well,
that?
Well, no, but close the lid before you flush.
Yeah,
close
okay.
the lid
before you flush. Why are we not doing that?
Well, I just think there are some who don't.
Do we live in a barn?
Present. It depends. Depends who you're talking about. But scientists, now listen, and I feel bad for these scientists. I mean, this is a crappy research project. Scientists who simulated toilet water and air flows found that aerosol droplets forced upward by a flush appear to spread wide enough and linger long enough to be inhaled. Experts call it the toilet plume.
Oh, my God.
You learned something today, Jor. The toilet plume, that's why you close the lid so none of those particles, those aerosols, can rise up after the flush.
I really wish I could unlearn that. I wish I could unlearn how many people are not flushing or not closing the lid before they flush.
This may be another vector for transmission. We're just trying to help people out and reduce risk. Someday you're going to thank me, Jordan. No time soon.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, I posted, and did you guys see this on my Instagram, the picture, the video of my oldest, my firstborn, getting her COVID test?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. My oldest is having sinus surgery on Thursday. I will not be here with you on Thursday. I'm taking the day off, of course, to be with her. And you have to get a pre-surgery COVID test just to obviously make sure you don't have it. And obviously she's healthy. This was a surgery that clearly had to get postponed when elective surgeries were postponed. But she can't breathe, so she needs it. So she's getting it on Thursday. So the pre-COVID test. So I said to her when we went in for the test, I said, babe, could I film it? Because I don't know what a COVID, you know, everyone says they stick this thing up your nose. And that's exactly what they did, friends. If you need a visual of this, if you do not know what a COVID test is like, and it's probably not as bad as you think it is. It's on my Instagram at Jordana Verde. Go check out the video. Follow the page because I post a lot of interesting stuff there. I also posted it on Twitter, but Twitter's weird with videos like that. So check out the video. And obviously the test was negative. We got the results back. Test is negative. Surgery is still on. But it does look like the entire swab is shoved up into her brain. She was a total champ because she's had so many of these sinus things going on that she's kind of used to it. But you can check it out if you're wondering what the COVID test looks like. It's fairly antiseptic, but check out that video if you haven't seen it yet.
Very cool. Is she relieved? I mean, did she feel good to get the results?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't worried that she had the COVID because we have been doing a pretty good job of social distancing. But, you know, she's a nanny for a small child and, you know, her summer job now. And yes, she was absolutely relieved and that the surgery can go forward. But I just wanted to share that because if you haven't seen the COVID test, you should check it out.
Very cool. And, Jor, there was some good news today. Kids and teenagers half as likely to get infected with coronavirus as adults. And when they do get it, if they get it, they usually don't develop clinical symptoms of COVID-19. So, again, amplifying. There have been some cases where infants and young kids had COVID-19 or what appeared to be COVID-19 with inflammation that resembled Kawasaki syndrome. Again, it's pretty rare. It was in New York City specifically.
I remember.
But as a rule, younger people not getting it the way that older people are right now.
That's good news. Let me sneak in this one more. Gone with the Wind. I know people were very upset that Gone with the Wind had been pulled by HBO Max because of its racial undertone. Well, not racial undertones. It was just racist. I mean, that's just how it was because it was the time that it was made in. HBO Max will start streaming the controversial slavery era movie again. But get this. They're giving a lecture about the racial themes that first got it pulled. Okay? Jacqueline Stewart is a cinema professor. She is a scholar providing this intro. She says, I will provide the introduction, placing the film in its multiple historical contexts. Now, this is interesting because, you know, we shouldn't just be done. You know, my kids read Of Mice and Men, and there's a lot of negative tones about black folks in that movie. Yet, in the conversation, because I read it with her this year, she's a junior, I just reread it, you know, and I said, how did you feel when you heard this word? What did you think about that? In the context of teaching, when we're experiencing one of these novels or movies, I think it's important learning. So this, I think, is a really good step. I'd be interested to hear what people of color think about that, but and I would accept that learning if maybe I'm being silly, thinking that this is a good thing. But I think this is a good step toward explaining these kind of movies and books.
Absolutely. We
Instead
all need
of just
to
throwing
educate
them out.
Ourselves.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Sure. A lot of business is still struggling out there. We can't remember that. Coming up, Dean Phillips, Representative Dean Phillips, talks about the Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act, which has become law. We'll get the very latest from Representative Phillips next.
419, Jordana and Paul, David Josephson at the helm. Thank you for spending some time with us on just a stunning, stunning Tuesday afternoon. I love the heat. So I was out there early taking a walk this morning, but I hope you are enjoying it. Have your earbuds in, listen to us on radio.com, or maybe in the backyard doing some yard work on the old transistor. Either way, we are happy and grateful that you are here today. So the PPP loans had a lot of problems when they were first rolled out. Some people got money right away. Some small business businesses got money right away. Others were blocked out. Then more money came in for the PPP loans. But there were restrictions. You had to use the money right away, and you could only use it for payroll, and you had to use it during this time period. Well, our own Dean Phillips saw the issues that were happening with the original PPP loan, and he created the Phillips Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act. I'm pretty sure that's an extra P in there, but that's okay because it has passed and it is here to help small business owners. Representative Dean Phillips is on the line. Dean, so happy to have you back on the show on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline.
Great to be with you, Jordana. Nice job on the articulation of the bill name. That's hard.
A lot of P's. The Phillips Paycheck Protection Program.
A lot of alliteration.
So share with us, because some small business owners out there said, oh, I missed the boat. I can't get any money now because all the money's all gone. Or I don't qualify for some reason. So tell us, what were the problems you were seeing and how does your bill solve them?
Well, first and foremost, to let everybody know that there is still money available, and business owners, small business owners, have through June 30th to apply. So if you haven't yet, the changes that we were able to make with the Paycheck Protection Flexibility Act make it a much more useful program. So what we heard, Jordana, I listened to hundreds of people here in my district and throughout Minnesota, salon owners in Minnetrista and barbershop owners in Brooklyn Park, you know, restaurants in Wayzata and Moni's in Maple Plain, I recall, and they were all saying the same thing, businesses, small businesses of different sizes and different categories, saying that the terms, the covenants of the program were disadvantageous, that the money had to be used too quickly, that there wasn't enough flexibility relative to how it could be used. So it's a simple and good example of what my job is, to listen and take action. And I happened to be talking to my Republican colleague from Texas, Representative Chip Roy, who was hearing the exact same thing from his constituents, small business owners down in Texas. And we recognize that to get anything done in Washington, it's got to have a bipartisan genesis. And we collaborated on a bill to make the simple fixes that are going to help millions of businesses and many millions more employees. And it's a good example of how things can work in Washington, how things should work, and what I intend to do moving forward.
Well, Representative, congratulations on the bill. Only one vote against it in the entire Congress. Mm-hmm. Can you share who that was?
Hello, Paul.
Yeah, hi.
As hard as I worked, I somehow was not able to break through to Thomas Massey from Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds like a jerk.
But I'm not going to give up. The goal was 418-0, but I'll take 417-1 is not average.
That's still very impressive. Now, I know business owners have to jump on this. They have to file by June 30th. And what's different, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the coverage period now runs through the end of this year, through the end of 2020. Specifically, does this help restaurants, which may not have the big payroll, but they've got the big overhead, the rent, the utilities? So this is a little more democratic in helping all business.
Absolutely, Paul. In fact, a lot of restaurants and cafes made that appeal to me. And restaurants and cafes are, in many ways, one of the backbones of our economy and our culture, gathering places for communities. And the program was not working for them. And it's going to be some time, of course, I believe, until people are comfortable enough to pack into restaurants again and music venues and the like. And that's why we modified the program. Instead of 8 weeks, it can be used over 24 weeks. Instead of 60% required to, I'm sorry, instead of 75% required to go to payroll, we reduced that to 60%. So 40% can be used for other expenses to keep the lights on. And through the end of the year, December 31st, the dollars can be used. So a simple example of listening. And yes, restaurants are going to be struggling. And I encourage everybody listening, to the extent that you're able, to support our local independent restaurants, because they're wonderful sources of employment, and we don't want to lose them. And that goes for every small business in our community. We have to support them if we want to do well by our entire state.
We're speaking to Representative Dean Phillips. Dean, what about companies, small businesses that have already applied to the PPP? Are your changes retroactive to them? Should they reapply?
So as it stands right now, businesses can only apply one time for a PPP loan. I talked to a number of businesses in our community that had received the proceeds from the loan but didn't deploy them because the terms were so disadvantageous. They can now use them, and yes, it is retroactive. So the new terms will work. And if there are businesses out there who have not yet applied who could use that support, there is money available. And again, June 30th is the deadline. Information available on the Small Business Administration website. And our wonderful community of community bankers throughout the state are there to help small businesses. And my hope, Jordan, is that this is a beginning. And as we emerge from COVID and this entire crisis, I want to find ways to provide capital to the heartland and entrepreneurs of all kinds of backgrounds and businesses to find startup capital for those with dreams and ideas and ambitions, because that's going to be the backbone of our economy for a long time to come.
Dean, tough question. A trillion here, a trillion there, it starts to become real money. I'm just curious what you think is going to happen in light of Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is predicting that life won't return to normality until sometime next year, hopefully after we have an effective vaccine. I mean, if there is, in fact, a second wave or a third wave and things shut down in the fall and winter, how long can the U.S. government keep printing money? And do you worry about deficits and what our kids and our grandkids are going to inherit? I know we have to do it. Nobody's arguing that. But do you worry what the end result is going to be? Can we dig out from under this?
Yeah, Paul, you and I have spoken about this, and yes, I'm concerned. And to your point, this is not the time to pinch pennies. It's the time to support people and small businesses throughout the country so that we can emerge from this in a position to be successful in the future. But with that said, we are now a country approaching a $27 trillion national debt. Our annual debt service, meaning the interest that we pay on our national debt, exceeds $400 billion a year, which means that's $400 billion that we cannot invest in children, in schools, in health, and education. And it is going to be a problem. And we have to be thoughtful, both Democrats and Republicans, in ensuring that we manage our fiscal house responsibly so that we can be an investment government. Now, right now, we're approaching a time, Paul and Jordana, in which we will be paying more for the past than we are investing in the future. And that means investing in children. I think that is a nonpartisan, very American perspective that I share, that we have to recognize the need to match our revenues with our investment needs. And that goes for infrastructure, education, health, and the like, and ensure, most importantly, that those who rely on Social Security, on Medicare and Medicaid, will never be at risk. But we've got to ensure that we generate the revenue necessary and manage how we spend our money thoughtfully and with accountability.
Okay.
Wow. That was sort of a wake-up call, you know, about you've just that last soundbite. That was sort of a wake-up call that we really it's got real, you know, that we need to manage going forward responsibly. And nobody ever asked for this. Nobody wanted this. Nobody wanted to borrow this much or, of course, have this debt. But we have this real problem now that all of us are faced with and have to find a solution for.
Yes, we're all in it together, Jordana.
That's right. Dean Phillips, thank you so much. We so appreciate the time and we appreciate the bill. Lots of P's, but we appreciate what you're doing for small business.
Well, thank you, Dean. You all and keep the faith and many thanks to both of you.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Dean. People should know. I know there were small businesses in the very beginning, Paul. We talked about this daily on our show when COVID first hit and we shut down, that people didn't even want to deal with the paperwork, that they figured, oh, I'm not going to apply. It's so much work. I probably won't get it anyway. But if you are a small business that has not applied for PPP, please do it now. These are forgivable, that you don't have to pay it back. So that money is out there to help you, and you should go get it. We want Minnesota businesses to not only survive, but thrive. So go get your money. Get it.
In the meantime, we want to hear from you, and please be creative. We know our listeners are creative. 651-989-9226. Confederate statues are coming down. They are a symbol of racism and oppression. They're coming down one by one. What should go in their place? In Tennessee, they want Dolly Parton up on statues. And personally, I think that's a great idea.
Yes.
Who do you think should be on those statues? That's coming up next on CCO.
It's 4:37. Jordana and Paul, thank you for spending some time with us this Tuesday afternoon. The most fun story that I saw today led our show here at 3 o'clock because I was in the mood for a little silliness. West Virginians are campaigning to replace Confederate statues with Mothman. Now, my friends, I had to Google Mothman because I was not familiar with Mothman. But I guess anybody's better than, like, Stonewall Jackson, right? Anybody's better than, like, a mean slave-owning Confederate general. So why not Mothman? And the picture they have of the Mothman statue they want to put up is fantastic. It's like aluminum or tin. It's like this giant man-like creature with real, like, six-pack, almost eight-pack abs. Those are nice. Red eyes and these giant wings. I mean, it looks like a Mothman. Of course, you know, I had to do and find out that Mothman was a fictional creature that some random couple, like back in the 60s, say they saw in a West Virginia town. It made the national news and has since become legend and folklore, which is really fun, sort of like the New Jersey Devil. We all have our folklore, like Pepin, in Lake Pepin. There's a lake monster in Lake Pepin. So it's fun to have things like this. And they want that statue to replace Stonewall Jackson. So Paul and I got thinking, well, my gosh, who do we want to replace any Confederate statues that we have? Or we feel like we are now, I don't know, king and queen, that we deem who's going to go on the statues. And we wanted to get you in on the conversation. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Who do you want to see on a statue instead of some Confederate general? Paul, do you have a preference here?
Well, again, I'm kind of stuck on the whole Dolly Parton on a statue.
Yeah. Bring
She's
it.
Very much alive, and I don't think you need to be Bring dead it. To be on a statue. But folks in Tennessee, thousands of Tennesseans are writing in and demanding that Dolly Parton be on statues. By the way,
Bring it.
Some of the states like Georgia, Virginia, North Carolina have over 300 monuments and statues. So there are thousands of these statues throughout the Deep South. And some people say, well, it's just, you know, good old boys and celebrating Southern pride. But to many, you know, black and white, these statues are symbols of racism and oppression and even white supremacy. So they're coming down. The question is, what's going up?
Right. The time has come. Like, we're done having this conversation. Yep. We're done saying you can't erase history because you know that that's a bad excuse. You don't erase history. History belongs in a museum and a textbook, and that's where these should be, closed away in a museum. And when you go to the Museum of Racism or the Museum of Slave Owners, then you will see these monuments. But they should not be celebrated and out on our streets where descendants of slaves have to walk past them. So we're done with that. So question is, who do you want to see? I mean, Green Lantern? Mothman? Batman? Paul Douglas?
Sasquatch.
You make a good monument. There you go. See, that would have to be in Northeast Pennsylvania, where I saw him.
You're not objective because you saw Sasquatch. So when you talk about Mothman, I think you're projecting a little bit your experience with Sasquatch.
Right. Well, I mean, I saw him. He was crossing Route 80 in Northeast Pennsylvania about 11:30 at night. He was going east. I was also heading, I guess then he was going more north, and I saw him. Did not stop, nor did he. He was running across the highway, but he's real. And if there's going to be a monument, it should be in Northeast Pennsylvania. At least that was my last sighting of him.
Sure. It was just a hairy truck driver, and you were a little impaired at the time.
Definitely not impaired, but, you know, it was late, and it was after the 11 o'clock news, so I was a little tired. 651-989-9226. Jeff in Kirkhoven. Jeff, where is Kirkhoven?
That is about 100 miles west of Minneapolis and via Highway 12.
Cool. Well, welcome, my friend.
Good to have you with us, Jeff. Any ideas for who you'd like on a statue?
Well, you know, I'm thinking our country is so divided right now that we need to put up a statue of Jesus Christ. That should be our main focus on the whole everything here.
No argument from me on that.
Hey, I know that's not where your program right now initially is going, but that's what I think.
No.
We need to focus on what's in there.
There are no wrong answers. Who can we all
agree on,
or most of us agree on? I think that's great suggestion, Jeff.
Thank you. Totally agree.
Thank you, sir.
I know people are going to call in and yell separation of church and state, but you know what? That's not what this segment is about. This segment is about who you want to see on that monument. There are no wrong answers except maybe like Stonewall Jackson or Hitler. We're going away from the bad guys. We're going toward the good guys or the fun people or the Dolly Partons. I'd like to see that on a statue. I would be happy to look at Dolly all day and all night. Alan is in Montrose. Alan, who is your statue that you are erecting for all to see?
Hey, I think Mothman's good. Georgiana, what you said was unfortunately false. I'm married to a woman from West Virginia, and Mothman lives. Believe me.
Really?
They really believe in it. Oh, yeah.
So is he a good guy or a bad guy? Like, was he stealing babies or is he fighting crime?
Well, he wasn't fighting crime. I know that. She starts talking about some of the stuff at West Virginia, and I kind of, lose interest, tune out.
Spoken like a true husband.
What are you talking about there, Alan? No idea.
I've been down there enough, and I believe the Mothman was at Point Pleasant, West Virginia. I believe that's where the bridge is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And those people around there, there is a Mothman.
That's so cool. I'm going.
You can't tell them otherwise.
I want
to
go see Mothman.
And
Alan,
point,
thank you for this call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very entertaining. Very entertaining.
And to your point, Alan, why do old married men go deaf? Because they want to.
You are going to be in trouble now. But he remembers where it was, so he was listening to his wife. He is a better husband than you, my friend.
Yeah, well, no argument there. Ginger, we see more calls coming in, suggestions. We don't have the answer key. We're hoping you do.
Who should be
on those statues in the South instead of defeated Confederate generals who, by the way, lost. Yeah, the Union prevailed. Who should be on those statues? 651-989-9226. Ginger and everybody else will get to you next.
I like it.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. This is one of DJ's. Yep.
This is one of DJ's winners from the game when I was 18, which, by the way, comes back tomorrow on the Paul and Jordana Show at 3:20. That's when we play that game. See if the song When You Were 18 is going to win. We should, by the way, we should have call-ins play along with us, David. We got to figure out how to do that. But this was a good one. You won fair and square. So tune in
tomorrow. And we need swag. Maybe the winner could win a Confederate statue.
Oh, God. Well, they're all coming down. I don't think the winner would want one.
Not a good time to be a Confederate statue. By the way, there are over 1,500 public monuments and memorials to the Confederacy. 718 of those are monuments or statues. Most prevalent, Georgia, Virginia, and North Carolina. They do realize that the South lost, right? I mean, I know celebrating your heritage, I get that. But I think what galls a lot of people, and it's not just in the North, is that the Confederacy stood for institutionalized slavery.
That's right.
That was their business model. Their business model relied on slaves. Mm-hmm. So you can whoop it up and say it's just good old boys and Southern pride, but no.
Not anymore.
It's something, it represents something far more sinister, and that's why those statues are coming down. What should go up in their place? Jim in St. Louis Park, any ideas?
Hey, Jordana and Paul, I do have a suggestion. I really have several of them, but the first one I would suggest would be a very big, prominent statue up with a big horse and Sid Hartman sitting on the top welcoming to Minneapolis.
That's good.
Wouldn't that be great?
I like that idea.
At the other end of Nicollet Mall, have one to Alan Page, who we all love. So have the two of them.
That's a great idea.
Sweet.
Love that, Jim.
Good call, Jim. Thank you.
I'd go
That's
with
fun.
That.
Thank you. Betty's in St. Louis Park. Hi, Betty. What's your idea?
Hi. I have actually two in one. If my memory serves me correctly, the first McDonald's was in Minnesota. And so I'd like to suggest one golden arch with a statue of Prince underneath it.
Nice. I love that.
You know,
that,
I thought of that, too. I like that a lot. Prince should be on a statue.
Yeah.
That is
a
great idea, Betty.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. Yeah, thank you. Of course, Prince, naturally. Naturally stood for loving all people, super diverse. Of course, Prince should be on a statue. I'm surprised we don't have one yet.
Put Bob Dylan up there, too. Maybe Hubert Humphrey. I mean, there's no limit to unifiers. People that tried to unify America, not divide us, but unify us and remind us of what we all have in common. There are enough of those heroes out there. We can put those people on statues. Jeannie in Woodbury, what do you suggest?
How are you?
Hi, Jeannie.
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Good. My thought is we need to be done with statues. Man is inherently flawed, and we judge now based on the standards and the evolution of our thinking of the day. And so whoever we put up will, at some point, they will find some writing, some thought that someone else will be offended by. And I think that we just need to be done choosing a person and look more to mankind and put up something beautiful that everyone can enjoy and not find fault with.
Nice. Jeannie, dropping some knowledge on us right there. Jeannie, I love that. Out of the box thinking. Forget these statues. And let me tell you, I love it. Especially in this day and age of Twitter and social media, you can't say one thing that 20 years from now, somebody's going to come back that's going to bite you in the butt. So she makes an excellent, excellent point.
Yeah, to her point, you know, history written by the victors. But, is there anybody that stands the test of time? I would say Jesus. stands the test of time. Maybe the Buddha, maybe Moses. I mean, I think there are people that stand the test of time. But she does make a good point. Do we have enough time? Can we squeeze in Jerry from Matamidi? Hey, Jerry.
Hi, guys. How about John Prine?
I don't know who that is.
I'm thinking John Prine sitting on a bale of hay or with a guitar in his hand.
I'm going to have to Google John Prine right now. Am I a bad person that I don't know John Prine? All right, Googling Jerry, and we will figure it out. But David, I think, wanted to jump in with something right here.
Yeah, sure, really quickly. I love what Jeannie said about, you know, maybe it's time to have nobody. And honestly, the first thing I thought of in this conversation was sports figures. And I used to love wearing jerseys. And I had, you know, Kirby Puckett and Chris Carter and more recently Adrian Peterson. And all of those people have stains on their record. And, you know, I still like them as players. But guess what? I'm not wearing those jerseys. So I think I'm with Jeannie. It's time to maybe not put people up on pedestals anymore.
Maybe really rainbows and unicorns.
Or maybe John Prine, singer-songwriter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.